If I could just give maybe a starting testimony to say this, there's some teenagers with this week that would not have been able to go had it not been for giving members in our church. And I know for at least one or two of those that we prayed for about specific things. What was so encouraging was when we prayed, God answered our prayers. And I remember praying for a certain young man to be saved, and we prayed in the morning, we all prayed together, and I got done praying, and about an hour later he came to me and said, "Brother Jesse, how do you know for sure you got saved?" I said, "Well, we talked about it," and I said, "Did you do that?" He said, "I did that last night." And man, just God answered prayer, had a couple young people saved, a couple people get assurance of salvation, but it was good. But Brendan's going to come first, so Brendan, come off here, Tyler King, and we're going to try our best to keep this moving. And so they have an order. Teenagers, if you came here late, just catch Miss Julie, and she'll make sure you jump in line. But you pray for them as a good testimony that they're nervous, no doubt. But as we say amen, as we say praise the Lord, I'm sure they'll be a great encouragement to them.
Well, my name is Brennan, and I'll be going into my senior year this year. And I just want to start by thanking everybody who helped pay for us to be able to go to camp this year and for all the prayers. It does matter. And camp was just great. The atmosphere, you get to get away for a week, you get to know your youth group, you get to the people who you just see on Sunday and Wednesday, and then you spend a week with them, and you really get to know them. And the Lord spoke to me about my prayer life, and I hadn't been praying like I should, and, you know, you kind of put up a wall and say, "Hey, I'll be fine." And the Lord really broke me there, and I'm just thankful for that.
Hi, my name is Tyler. You won't be hearing any complaints from the boys' dorm this year. We got the Brown Palace. I had two favorite messages. One of my favorite messages was one on boundaries, and the other one was on living the yes life. And it really just opened up my eyes to why my parents set boundaries and why they tell me to say no to something so I could get a yes later on in life. And God really spoke to me about honoring my parents more, so I pray they'll just help me honor my parents more.
Hi, my name is Abby, and this is my third year going to camp, and each time I really enjoyed it because I got to enjoy good preaching, enjoy good fellowship with all my friends in the youth group, and the food was really good. Even though it was kind of hard to get used to the altitude since it was like high in the mountains and waking up super early, but it was worth it to go up there and go and listen to all the preaching and stuff. I learned from the preaching that you should honor your parents and you should pray and read your Bible. I wasn't really doing that like I should have, so will you pray for me as I start school that I'll get closer to God and I'll start reading my Bible and praying more?
My name is Dylan Waldman, and I think the best message that spoke to me was about the Delilah. It was talking about Samson. He looked at Delilah, and he saw only Delilah, and he didn't see the Philistines that were crouching behind Delilah, ready to kill him. And our parents can see that. We really don't recognize our parents that often and say, "Hey, you can see the Philistines," and we just shirk them off and say, "Hey, I know what I'm doing. I'll get this done by myself." And that was the best thing to me. And pray for me to help me honor my parents more.
Well, my name is Patrick Day, and this is my third year at Silver State. I do want to start off, like Berlad did, by just saying thank you all so much for us supporting us and, you know, working through our fundraisers and putting up with us. Without y'all, seriously, camp would have been impossible for a lot of us to go to, and that's a really big deal because I was able to see three of my friends get saved this year, which was amazing. Silver State's more than just a camp. I mean, you hear about kids going to camp in the summer, and most of the time you think of camp, you think of games, and you think of fun food, which are all amazing at Silver State. But I think that when you're there, everyone does know that the primary focus is God, and that everyone can get together and fellowship and learn more about each other and lift each other up and edify one another because He is the common denominator. I like to think of Silver State as like a Christian walk and battle training, so that way you can like come back off the mountain and know how to apply everything and use it in your life. It was mentioned during camp that it wasn't that the camp was closer to God or that it had more God. It was that the camp had less worldly influences and more of a focus on God. So I was thinking that every week could be like camp. Every week could be that mountaintop experience if you just push out the world and fill your heart and focus on His Word. It was also said during the week, which is something that everyone should apply, that you should get a nugget of truth out of every single message. So from here on, I strive to consider the true profit of my actions and possessions instead of focusing only on temporary gain, to realize little sins can ruin great blessings, to know that a limitation is there for my protection, and that Christ's yoke is much easier than sin's, to refuse any Delilahs in my life, which only distract and are a part of a much bigger plan for destruction, to evaluate every item in my life and figure out the theology behind it, asking how it will affect my relationship with God. Is it going to take me closer or farther away? To ask others what my blind spots are, to listen to my authority and realize we all have battles to face like David did, but when you have victory, you can get great rewards. To fear falling under the radar like Judas did, who played church. To say no to simple things so I can say yes to things that are far better and have eternal benefits. To resist temptation by focusing on what I've been given and blessed with. To rewire my brain to think in a Lord-honoring way because every thought should honor Him and because thoughts become actions. To know success is in God's eyes and obedience is immediate. To give every area of my life to Him. To obey like Lazarus and rise quickly. To not play with sin because it'll control you and scar you. To make preaching the icing on the cake of my Christian walk, not the bulk of it. To be sensitive and right with God so that I can see clearly to help others without my personal problems interfering. To choose to build and maintain an altar with God by His power and through prayer. To be an example of victory and personal relationship with God. Please pray for me as I continue to walk closer to Him.
My name is Joshua, and this week the Lord just really touched me to just in all sorts of different ways. And He touched me to get my Bible and pray more. And I know I haven't been doing that like I should, so I'm just going to try and get back into that. And camp was great. There were lots of fun things, lots of preaching. And the food was outstanding. And just so I pray that you would just help me to keep my decisions.
Well, I'm Noah, and some of you know me, some of you may not. This week was just really great, and I'm kind of short, so it was just a real blessing to me, and I want to thank y'all as a church for being such a great encouragement to me, and my youth group had been such a great encouragement to me, and not only was it fun there, it was very spiritual there, and you want to become more closer to God, and they talked about sin this year, about how to watch out for it and how to like maintain your boundaries, and like what Dylan was saying about the Delilah and stuff, and that really hit me hard, that you see the gain but you don't really see the loss, and that you don't get any profit from it. So just please pray for me as I go on with my life and help me to maintain my balance with God.
My name's Landon, and this week God spoke to my heart to honor my parents and to see the Delilahs in my life, and then He also talked to me about going into the ministry. And will you please pray for me to get my life right for God?
Hi, I'm Viviana, and at camp was a really good experience, and I learned that there are always going to be sin and temptation, but you need God to help you fight that in life, and please pray for me where I could get a step closer to God.
My name is Caleb, and I'm going into my senior year of high school, and first of all, I can't thank you all enough. I mean, we all can't thank you enough for your support and helping us get to camp. And as you could see, the profit from supporting us in that area. But just like to point out something. It was kind of weird this morning, in the sense that you got done with our service this morning, and I got up and I went, that was really short. I was thinking, you know, there should be a couple more hours of this in a minute. But after four messages a day, you kind of get used to that, and It was really awesome. Camp was, for me, it was a huge kind of a fill my cup thing. It gave me a recharge my batteries and got me going again, and showed me what I was slacking in, what I've got off of, the commitments that I had made, that I had slacked off in, the areas that I need to get back on track. And it really was a blessing, and something I need to thank is my youth pastor and my youth pastor's wife. Hey, thank y'all for taking us. That was, I tell you, there's something. God's blessed us. He really has. And I love them. I really do. And thank Pastor, too, for making Brother Jesse take us there. No, but it was a real blessing, and the messages were great. And like I said, I've made some decisions in my life that, just to get back in God's will and to get back going where I was.
Well, my name is Dylan Wilson, and 3 years ago tonight, I started to preach from because of Silver State. It's a great camp. And there's some things in my life I've been slacking off of, such as praying, reading my Bible. God really got a hold of me of that. And I want to read some verses that I found while reading my Bible. In Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Basically, you know, teenagers or adults, you know, if you haven't gotten saved or you need to be saved or God's calling to ministry or sisters into your life, just do it, because worldly things don't matter when we get to heaven. Nah. You know, like Brother Crawford said, one day he'll stop calling. That's a horrible feeling. Thank you for letting me go to camp.
Hi, my name's Riley. I graduated this year. And earlier this summer, I decided I wasn't going to go to camp because I'm playing college soccer next year, and I need to go running every day. And I just made up all these excuses for why I couldn't go. And then a couple people in my youth group and Brother Ladd, of course, kept bothering me about it. And if you're going to go, right? Come on, I'll go running with you every morning. And so I was like, all right, well, if you say so. So we did. Every morning we got up and we ran. And I'm so glad I decided to go because it was just a great experience. This last year I wasn't as close to God as I had hoped to be after my decision at camp last year. And I had some doubts, and but this year was a good reassurance. And I just think that's what I needed because I'm going off to college. And you know, the girls' soccer team, bad influences. I just need to be strong, like stronger than ever. And I just need to start reading my Bible more. And I'm just going to commit to that and try to be a better Christian. But please pray for me to actually, like, do that, I guess. I don't know. But thank you for letting me go to camp.
Hi, my name's Reed. I got saved at this camp in 2005. And I got to go stand at the exact same spot where I actually, you know, accepted Christ as my Savior. It was a really cool feeling. And, well, God's been working in my heart this week, and Brother Hardy, I was talking in a message, and he was saying that you have men and women of valor that are in your life, and they're there from the beginning. They always have your back no matter what. And I just made a commitment to stop taking my parents, you know, Pastor, Brother Jesse, and Julie, Tanya. Sorry. Stop taking you guys for granted. And, so to all of you guys that have to put up with me, thank you. It's a handful. I understand. So I pray that you just help me to keep this commitment. So.
My name's Dayton Colbert, and this week at camp was a great experience. You know, I didn't really think I wanted to go at first when I first heard of it, I think towards the beginning of the summer. And then when I got there, God spoke to my heart like every day about all the things I need to change, and just I got reassurance of my salvation last Wednesday. And when I got back last night, I was watching like this PG-13 movie, and it was just cuss words in it. And when you go a whole week without like hearing it or saying it, or even thinking it, it sounded sick. And so I turned it off, and I don't want any part in that. And I just hope that you pray for me to, like, just keep my walk with God and my altar with Him, and help me show my friends what a new person I am when I go to school, and I want to teach my friends about God. Thank you for that. and for this opportunity.
Hi, my name is Jessica. That dude over there is my brother. And basically, he is my testimony. First of all, before I begin, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to send us to camp. It was just a great decision. You know, when I first heard about it, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. But once the week was over, it was just such a great blessing. It got me so much closer to God and just made me want to be more committed to read my Bible every day and even have more personal time with God, because over this past year and over the past couple of years, I haven't been really as close to God as I should be, but so it made me really want to have more personal time with God, because I know that the personal time is the most precious time that you need to spend with God, and church is just icing on the cake. And like I was saying, Dayton was basically my testimony. I saw him Wednesday get saved, and just those couple days, from Wednesday to Friday, seeing a couple saved was a miraculous change. You could ask the youth, and they could tell you straightforward that it was just a complete change. Before you saw him get changed, really, you would say that he didn't smile that much. You may see him grin a little bit. And then a lot of people thought he was angry because he just kept a straight face like this. But he used to being his goofy self. But but that's just him. You have to get to know him, that he's not angry, trust me. But when he got to after he got saved, he was just smiling all the time, laughing, and enjoying himself. He was playing with the guys, wrestling with them, and it was just such a joy to my heart to see him have that great change, know that Christ was again back in his heart. And there's just this, he was such more closer to the guys. I think it's because, like Miss Julie was saying, she was saying that he probably didn't feel comfortable with the guys or the youth, because, you know, like, I'm not like one of them. I don't have Christ in my life. But once he did get saved, he was like, oh, I do have him in my life. I'm like them now. So it was just a blessing to see that. And he was just, at one point, there's a group of guys at one side and another group of guys on the, like, top of the basketball court. And he was running back and forth between them. And I'm like, Dayton, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to talk to everyone. So I'm like, okay. And, like, that's awesome. And so to really see that, he's my testimony, because Friday I got saved and got reassurance. And it just truly showed me that, you know, I've been having doubts for the past couple of years. And it just showed me, really brought my eyes, that God is real. He is going to be a part of my life, the rest of my life. And I know for 100% sure now that I am going to heaven. So I am so blessed to have him back in my life. And I just want to thank you guys for all your prayers and for your prayers of safety. Because I was there when Kayla fell. And just to see that broke my heart. I was scared to death. I had no idea what I could do for her. And immediately the campers that came and saved me from the rock that I was stranded on, we immediately started praying. And I just want to thank you guys so much for all your prayers, because it also showed me also that God is amazing. He is truly amazing to save her and just to protect her and protected us during that camp, because it was just truly amazing. And I just want to please ask you to continue to pray for me. And for all the youth to continue to make our decisions, because I know that we do want to, and it's just hard to do with all this worldly stuff all around us. And I just want to continue to help us keep our decisions. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and this is my first year going to youth camp as a youth. And it's just, youth camp is amazing. It really speaks to your heart. It spoke to my heart about my Christian life, my walk with God, how am I, and I realized that I'm not as close to him as I should be. And camp is just amazing. It's just a period of time to get away from the world and just to realize, wow, the world is such a sinful place, and to get right with God. So thank you for letting me go. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tyler Barnett, and there was one message that really hit me this week, and it was when Brother Micah Dorr ended his message on Wednesday. He gave this story about this girl who her mother just gave her up and put her in an orphanage, I guess, and but yet she prayed and asked God to continue to work in her mother, and after 3 years of praying, her mother eventually came to church, and that was just really encouraging to me, because I'm the only one who comes to this church. My parents don't attend here, and neither does my sister. And it's just really encouraging, because, you know, when I ask somebody to come to church and they give me an excuse or just straight say no, they don't want to come, I get really discouraged and even sometimes a little embarrassed. But this helped me realize that if you just keep praying and keep sticking with it, eventually, you know, God will work in their heart and eventually it'll win them over and they'll attend. So I just ask that you continue to pray for me and pray for my family that one day they'll be attending this church too.
My name is Josiah Steele, and I'm technically not a part of Heritage Youth Group, but I'll tell you what, these guys are just amazing, a group of guys and girls. They make me feel like I'm a part, even though when I'm not, technically. And Brother Jesse, I just want to say a special thanks to you, because you've just been such an example, a godly example to me, and I know all the rest of the guys just look up to you and respect you for the example and the encouragement that you put into our lives. And it was just a big, you know, the preaching was a big part of this week, and all the ministers that were there helping us. But just his example and the devotions we had at night was just a blessing to me to see God work and God work through him and what he loves to do. And you can just see the love coming for him for our group. And I just really appreciate that. And one of the main focal points of this week was Brother Hardy had messages on just enriching our relationship with Christ. And a few of those were based on different areas, like decisions and being able to see the consequences of decisions that you make and trying to look past and having a wiser point of view on choices you make in your life, and also bring out blind spots that you might not see in your life but others might, and just being open to hearing what other people say about you and be willing to go before God and take care of that and being humble before him. And it just really hit me to get closer to God and what I'm doing, the things that are keeping me back from having the relationship that I need with him. So it just hit me hard to get right in my life and do what the Lord wants me to do and not what I want to do. And another thing that hit me hard was he talked about technology and the how helpful it is, how it can be holding back some of the Christians, and how one time he was writing a message and he'd been using all the technology and it seemed like he wasn't able to focus on what he was writing. And during the week, as I started to read my Bible more and more, I would realize that I wasn't being able to focus and understand what I was reading as much as I should, and it wasn't being spoken to as much. And it just really encouraged me to get in God's Word more and read it more to have a better understanding and have God speak to me through His Holy Word and just really draw myself to God. And I just really appreciate the opportunity, and I love and appreciate this church for what all y'all have done, and really enjoy the opportunity to go to camp.
I'm Taylor, and I enjoyed church camp a lot. I liked all the games and the hikes and stuff, but I love the preaching. God really spoke to my heart in every message, but in one specific one, respecting the ones over you, I decided that I needed to change the way I acted and talked to the authority that God placed in my life. I was not right for doing it at all, but I got right with God, and I got right with the authority that I disrespected, and I thank you for letting me go to church camp and supporting us, and I can't wait till next year. I ask that you would be in prayer for me and my decision.
Hi, my name is Victor, and I'm going to be a sophomore in, high school. It is really good up there in the mountains because you're away from, like, worldly stuff. And what really hit me was what Brother Hardy said, like, what happens in the mountain stays in the mountain. And that, like, you don't bring nothing back with, like, what you learned. And, like, I really, like, last year I wanted to read my Bible more, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to read my Bible when I get home. And, like, I never really did anything about it. And also when he said about the Delilahs, it really hit me hard. And also, and I surrendered my life to the ministry, and I want to be a youth pastor. That's what he called me to be, and I want to do that. And can you please pray for me as to, like, go forward with God and not to, like, distract me from anything else? Thank you.
Shelby, and youth camp this year was great, my first year, so it was fun. But one of the messages was about how people had these messed up homes, and I'm so blessed to come from a good Christian home. And the other message was how they just keep on saying yes and no's, and I always looked at the no's, and I never looked at ESs, and I'm so proud of having a family that says no to some stuff. And I surrendered my life to Christ this morning. Thank you, and just pray for me to keep on going on with my life.
What a tremendous impact the camp, it's not the camp, it's the Lord, that has on our young people. And camp isn't just about food and fun. It absolutely is about fellowshipping with the Lord and then getting so close to Him. And every year we go, we have kids saved, we have kids surrender ministry. And every year we go, we have kids surrender and get saved when they get home, like Landon and Shelby. You know, come home and realize, hey, I should have made these decisions. And each year we have adults who make decisions after hearing their testimony of their children and of the other youth. And I just encourage you to open your hearts, let the Lord speak to your heart. So good to have Russell come tonight and speak to us. And I wanted to introduce him. And I've known Russell basically all his life since he was one. And to see him grow and to come into the man that he is.
Amen.
And the just soft heart that he has for the things of God. What a testament to him. What a testament to his dad and grandfather, who was a preacher.
Amen.
And just tremendous. I bragged on him this morning, bragged on him again. We started an internship program in our church several years ago. In fact, Brandon Cook, who is now our children's pastor, was one of those interns that we had one summer. So Russell became our intern this summer and just basically following for the ladder around. Somebody asked me, in fact, his parents asked me, what's his job description? I said, follow for the ladder around. Do what Brother Latta says. And I'm telling you, he has worked hard and has stayed busy and has done a terrific job. And I'm glad nobody had to hunt him down, you know. He was working right there in the midst of it. And to see him grow in every area of his life. I'm looking forward to seeing him get into Bible college this next semester. Come on, Russell.
Thank you. Love you too. All right. I guess I'll start out. Broke it. Start out with my testimony. I've been going to Silver State Baptist Youth Camp for the majority of my life. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior whenever I was 9 at that camp. That camp has been great. There's always decisions, like Brother Crawford said. It's a great encouragement to see three of our teens saved and one to surrender to the ministry. The day that we got back last year, this morning, I surrendered to the ministry. I told the Lord that He has my life. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. I'm going to go to Bible college and hopefully that He'd use me in some special way. And this week I settled on Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So I'm going to go up there whenever it starts up. And I'm kind of nervous right now. Brother Jesse told me last night, he told me on the phone, he was like, hey, do you want to give a short devotion, challenge our church? And I said, sure. And I was like, I'm going to be really nervous. And I prayed and the Lord gave me a message. And let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for this day that you've given us today, Lord. I just want to thank you for this church. I thank you for letting them encourage me, Lord, and to help me grow more towards you. Give me the words to speak tonight, Lord. Just be with you, everyone in here, Lord. Maybe if someone's holding off on a decision, maybe they'll do that decision tonight, Lord. If they're not saved, maybe they'll accept you as your Savior, Lord. And just be with everyone here, and Jesus and I pray. Amen. I'm going to start out with a story that Billy Sunday said in one of his messages in Nebraska. Let's see if I can get to it. Now, whenever I'm saying this, I want you to picture yourself as the father in this story, and to picture your peers or the lost people that are around you that you know as the child in this story. It says, "Say, Papa, may I go with you?" asked the little boy of his father. "Yes, son, come on," said the father as he threw the axe over his shoulder and, accompanied by a friend, went to the woods and felled a tree. The little fellow said, "Say, Papa, can I go and play in the lagoon?" "Yes, but be careful, and don't get into the deep water. Keep close to the bank." The little fellow was playing digging wells, picking up stones and shells, and talking to himself, when pretty soon the father heard him cry, "Hurry, Papa, hurry!" The father leaped to his feet, grabbed the axe, and ran to the lagoon. There he saw the boy outstretched, a look of horror on his face, as he cried, "Hurry, Papa, hurry! The alligator has got me!" The hideous amphibious monster had been hibernating and had come out, lean, lank, hungry, and voracious. It seized the boy. The father leaped into the lagoon and was just about to sink the axe through the head of the monster when it turned and swished the water with its huge tail like the screw of an ocean streamer. And the little fellow cried out, "Hurry, Papa, hurry." The blood-flecked foam told the story. That's pretty much a message in itself right there that we need to go out and witness to people. But you know what? We don't do that nowadays. We're too worried about ourselves. We stay inside. We think that we're too good sometimes for the people that are out there that need to know the Lord. Kind of like the Good Samaritan, how all those priests and the people that, you know, were supposed to be high and, you know, glorify God, and they just left that poor wounded man on the ground. And, you know, a Good Samaritan came up, picked him up, helped him. And that's what we should do to the people that are in our community, which I know that we're trying to do that, but we could definitely do a better job. In 2 Corinthians 4, if y'all would turn there with me, Paul preached to the Corinthian church, and in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves our servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Right there it's saying that he commands us to be the light unto the darkness of this world. And you know what? We don't do a good job about that. I know I didn't whenever I was in high school. I was an athlete. I played football. I did wrestling. I did powerlifting. You know, I wasn't around the right crowd all the time. I didn't have the people to encourage me that I needed. And, you know, it was kind of hard. And I wasn't willing as a teenager to go out and preach the gospel, to be that light in the darkness. Sometimes, you know, I'd go around, I'd hang around the wrong people, and you know, they say you turn into what your friends are. I mean, luckily that didn't happen to me. I'm thankful that that didn't happen to me. But, I mean, I could have been a better witness. And I encourage the teens, you know, to be a better witness whenever you're in school. Don't worry about what they say about you. Don't worry about what they think. Just stand up for what's right. Because some people are too afraid, like I was. And I really regret it now. I wish I could go back and restart it. And I know that a lot of people here, you know, you work. You have lost people around you at work, and, you know, they're not always a great encouragement. Me, I'm lucky. I'm the intern at the church this year, and, you know, I have people encouraging me all the time. I have Brother Crawford, Brother Jesse, Brother Wiggins, Brother Brandon, even Miss Tanya and Miss Danya. You know, they're encouraging me every day. As Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so should a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, something like that. It's close, okay. I'm nervous, so I can't really remember everything right now. But I mean, we should encourage each other to grow more in Christ, because, I mean, we definitely don't do a good enough job to encourage each other. Otherwise, you know, we'd be here for every service. We wouldn't be missing services for worldly things like sports, baseball games, and, you know, we'd come up with excuses for, like, the revival is going to be here this weekend. I mean, we're going to come up with excuses to not come. And, you know, the Lord's will is for us to come. He wants us to be here, so that there will be a revival. And it's all about him. I know that at church camp, they have a cross that sits behind the stage on the wall. And at night they put up something that covers up. It's a glass cross, and they put a covering over it, and it says that it's all about him. And, you know, it actually is. I mean, we don't think about it sometimes, but we put ourselves first, and we think about ourselves whenever it's all about him. You know, some of us are wasting our lives on worldly things when we should be serving the Lord. I mean, we should be in his word daily. We should be praying every day. We shouldn't be slacking off. We need to encourage each other. And I know that as the teens, we're on fire right now. We just got back from camp. I mean, we're ready to go out and win souls. And, you know, it's kind of hard. It's going to be hard whenever we get back into school, because most of them, you know, go to public schools. Some of them go to private schools, and, you know, private schools aren't always the best because, you know, the ungodly people are there. They're just there because their parents make them go. And they need encouragement. And I probably won't be here to encourage them. So it's going to be up to y'all to encourage our teenagers and to encourage each other. And most of us aren't willing to give it all to the Lord. Some are willing to give it all, as in the Bible it said. Some, you know, just dropped everything and went and followed the Lord. And some of us are too afraid to let go of some things. And I know Brother Crawford, he's blessed from, I mean, the Lord has blessed him for coming and preaching to us, you know, being our pastor. And we need to just prepare for the Lord. We need to do His calling. We need to do His will. We need to put our faith in the Lord and surrender to His calling. As Brother Crawford said this morning, how his dad would spot him whenever he lifted weights. You know, there will be trials in your life whenever you're serving the Lord. There will be hard times, like school or like your job, whenever you're set around ungodly people that will just put you down and make fun of you for doing what's right. You know, the Lord is your spotter. He will help you when you're in trouble. He will help you up whenever you can't carry the load. And I never realized that until this morning. And, you know, it's so clear how it's so true. And, you know, times are rough nowadays. But, you know, why wait to make a decision? I mean, I know some of y'all would regret not making a decision whenever you're younger. I know I regretted for not doing it sooner. I surrendered, my junior summer and my senior year. I tried to live for the Lord the best I could, and it was hard. But I wish I would have been able to do it sooner. That way, you know, I could have been a better encouragement to my friends. I tried to bring friends to church my senior year, try to encourage them, you know, maybe that they'd get saved. But, you know, as soon as they got here, you know, they made fun of me. They called me preacher boy, you know, all the stuff that happens to you whenever you go to public school and they find out that, you know, you're serving the Lord. You're stupid, you know. But, you know, I'm glad that I serve the Lord. It's amazing. It feels great. I've been changed. I can't explain it, you know, just dropping everything, you know, preparing for the Lord. You know, I'm ready to go to Bible college. You know, hopefully I learned everything that I can. You know, the Lord will use me. And, you know, just why would you ignore the Lord whenever He's calling you to do something? Why would you just hold it off? I held it off for probably about a year or two. And, you know, every time I go to camp, you know, the Lord would speak to me about something. You know, you need to go preach the gospel. You need to go be a missionary. There's lost souls out there. You need to go help people. You know, you need to be a youth pastor. You need to be a preacher. You know, I don't know exactly what the Lord wants me to do, but I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. And, I mean, there are lost people dying and going to hell right now that are outside that aren't in this building. I mean, there may be some in this building right now, but, you know, we need to be at soul winning. We need to have a better heart about going out and reaching souls. I know that whenever teenagers go out and do surveys on Saturday, you know, we go to the people's doors, they fill out the survey, we ask them questions. Normally we'll ask them, do you know how to get to heaven? And majority of the time they'll come up with some excuse, or they won't want to answer the question, or they'll just simply say, I don't know. And, you know, we don't have people going out there. I mean, there's so many out there that don't know that they're going to heaven. There's so many that are being taught the wrong things, that are believing the wrong things because they're not being taught right. And we need to go out and we need to preach the gospel to them. Like Paul said to the Corinthian church, you know, we need to be a light. We need to go tell people about Jesus. And, you know, the revival, I'm excited for the revival this weekend. You know, I'm ready. It's going to be amazing. I mean, we're going to get preached to and we're going to get encouraged. I'm ready for it. It's going to be amazing. But as the story said, you know, that it was too late for the father to help his son, who, in our case, as I told you to picture, you as the father and the lost people outside as your friends, or as the son, as your lost people. Yeah, I just messed that up. I was supposed to be serious. But, you know, they're screaming for help, and yet, you know, we don't hear it at first. That or we're too late. I mean, we just say, oh, we got some other stuff to do. I mean, we're too busy. We got too much going on in our lives, like sports, to go out and, you know, have fun with the world whenever there's people dying who are crying for help. And we're just watching them be taken away by the devil. I mean, it just breaks my heart to see that. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I could have done a better job as it. And, you know, it's been amazing to be the intern because, you know, as I said, I've been encouraged. You know, I'm able to have a Bible study time as soon as I get to church, you know, 30 minutes. But, you know, that's not enough. We need to be in our Bible more than that. And I know some of you have slacked off and, you know, you don't read your Bible every day. You don't have your personal devotions. And I'd like to encourage all of you to get back on track and start doing that again. And get on fire for the Lord. Brother Jesse preached about lukewarm Christians and how, you know, it displeases the Lord and how, you know, he spits you out because he doesn't want that. He'd rather you be hot or cold. He wouldn't want you to be lukewarm. But as I preached to the teenagers at the all-nighter, I said, how are you going to be hot when you're surrounding yourself with cold people and cold things of the world? Because all it's going to do, whenever you put like hot water and cold water together, it's going to make it warm. And it's, you know, it displeases the Lord. So what you need to do is you need to get rid of the cold stuff and stick with the hot stuff, like the people in this church. You need to encourage each other. You need to help each other to grow more in Christ. And, you know, encourage our teenagers. I mean, because as soon as they get back to school, like I said, they're going to get discouraged. They're going to get made fun of. They won't want to stand up for what's right anymore after what the public schools and, you know, schools in general can do to you. And just encourage all of you to help us and pray for us, especially pray for me whenever I'm going off to Bible college not too long. And just, you know, encourage me while I'm there because, you know, I'm going to need all the help I can get. And let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for this message that you gave me tonight, Lord. I know that it spoke to my heart, and hopefully that you spoke to their hearts, Lord. And just, Lord, if there's a decision that needs to be made, Lord, let it be made tonight. Don't let them hold off, Lord. Please don't let them hold off. They need to be saved, Lord. Don't let them hold off because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when our last breath is going to be. And, Lord, just give our church a burden to go out and reach the lost souls that are out there just waiting, that the devil's taken away, Lord. Just help us and encourage us, Lord, and help us stay on the right track. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Man, Russell, appreciate that very much. I just wonder if you catch or have caught the overriding theme in all the testimonies. And to me, I go back to when I was in Sunday school as a kid and growing up in church. And besides tithing, which most of them don't make any money, so they're not going to mention that. But the other four things, the other four basic, you know, Christian tenets that we've held since we were children, many of us, and those who are new Christians need to get a hold of, is just read your Bible, pray, attend church faithfully. Did you hear that from them? Right? And tell others about Jesus. The fifth one's tithing and giving. Again, they don't make much money, so that didn't come up a lot. But the other four came up in every other testimony. Or more often, didn't it? Yeah, I think tonight maybe we have new Christians here tonight. And we have a bunch of us been saved a long time. Can we just be reminded tonight? Read your Bible. We're talking about the basics. See, we got some people in this room who are not even doing the basics. Not even, I'm talking about the starting blocks. Amen. Yeah. And the kids are saying, hey, I want to read my Bible more. I want to develop that relationship with the Lord. Read your Bible. Pray. Attend church faithfully. 3 times a week. Basics. And tell others about Jesus. And us adults with jobs, tithe. That's the 5 things you need to start with. If you're a new Christian here tonight and you haven't heard that before, there it is. Start there. I promise you from there on, whew, it's amazing. But unless you have those 5 things going on, you're always going to feel under conviction. Can I tell them the truth? They're always going to have that gnawing feeling from the Holy Spirit. I'm just not there. Camp is a wonderful, wonderful place. And I think tonight we've seen that from the testimonies of these kids, these teenagers. And then Russell, thank you. You know what? The devil's just blinding the eyes of those outside these walls. And we need to be that light. What a message. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. We're going to sing hymn 161, I believe. And Lord, touch your heart tonight. You come. I know the altar here is really small and hard to kneel down. If you would like to just there at your seat, sit down, acknowledging that you are praying. Or you can come and you can kneel here at these front chairs. But if Lord, touch your heart, you come tonight after we pray. Lord, again, we thank you tonight for the testimony of these young teenagers. Thank you for Russell, for his testimony, and for the message tonight. And we pray that the seed has been planted in the hearts of the hearers, and God, that you would just water it tonight, and Lord, let it bring forth fruit. I pray that you would help us to read our Bibles and pray, and just to do those basics that we've learned, I have from a little kid. Just help us, empower us, strengthen us to be the Christians we ought to be. Help us to follow in your steps. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing 161.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the
one of those testimonies, touch your heart.
Won't
you make a decision about it? Won't you come and make a decision
for you and for me?
Parents, what about you tonight?
Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
As you continue to sing.
Why
another verse.
We tarry when Jesus is pleading?
Lord, shut your heart, won't you
pleading
come now?
Pleading for you
and for me.
Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen. Please be seated for just a moment and remind you of a few things. And just want to encourage you again. I hope that what we've heard tonight won't just stay here. But as we walk out the doors, we'll remember the testimonies and be encouraged to follow in the steps of Jesus and to do what's right. Parents, you know, I hope that you'll flame the fire. You know what I'm saying? I hope that you will. And be that example to them. All right. Of course, Friday night. I appreciate Russell touching on it again. Be here. Revival meeting, 7 o'clock, Brother Sam Davison. I know some of you weren't in here this morning. Brother Sam Davison's the pastor emeritus now of Southwest Baptist Church. Pastor of the church for 20 years. Church ran over 2,000. Just a mighty preacher. And can I tell you that Brother Sam Davison is not known for his organizational skills. Brother Sam Davison isn't known for his great alliteration in his messages. He is known as a preacher. I'm telling you, a preacher. I told one of the deacons this morning, I said, you know why people came to Dr. A.V. Henderson's churches that he pastored over the years? Do you think they came because of his great organizational skills? I believe I would have come to Brother Henderson's church because he's a good preacher. And God used him mightily. Brother Sam Davison is known across the country as the, if not the, best preacher in the Independent Baptist circles. And I promise you, he'll be a blessing. I've told you already, he's my favorite preacher. And I'm looking forward to hearing him preach.